I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Bluetooth mesh is arguably the biggest thing to happen to IoT since Bluetooth Low Energy sparked the revolution of beacon technology. Wearables and thousands of other products have driven the sale of billions of devices. We spoke to Simon Slupik, CTO of Silvair and chair of the Mesh Working Group at the Bluetooth SIG, and asked him to explain what the release of this new standard means, what mesh is, why it was necessary, and the applications that it enables. We hope you find this useful. Don't forget to subscribe to us on the Mr. Beacon website, YouTube, Facebook, or your favorite audio podcast platform. Simon, thanks for coming and doing the Mr. Beacon podcast with us. In the Bluetooth world, you're a bit of a celebrity at the moment because you chaired the Bluetooth Mesh working group. So you've been busy. Can you first of all start off just by telling us what's new with Bluetooth Mesh? What's just happened?
Adoption has just happened, and adoption is like the crowning moment in development of a specification that becomes part of the broad Bluetooth standard. Mm-hmm. So adoption is the moment when everything's ready, everything's proven to be interoperable, tested, and we unveil it to the world. So the mesh is now adopted, which means products can start using that spec, and products can be listed, which is the Bluetooth SIG term for a binding contract in some way between a product vendor and the organization that holds the intellectual property rights to those specs, and those products could hit the market. So this is becoming very exciting now, you know. The long work, and now products come to fruition and they show up.
Well, very cool. Congratulations on that. In our discussion today, what I'd like to do is just have you talk to us a bit about what mesh is, what it means, and what the applications are. But before we get into that, how long has it taken to getting this actually into a released state?
Depending on what you consider a starting point. So formally, we started a Bluetooth Mesh study group in 2014, second half of 2014. And that study group was formed to work on functional requirements. After the study group completed the collection of requirements and formulated an FRD document, a working group was formed, and that was the first meeting of the Mesh Working Group was early February 2015. So if you take that as a starting point, it's 2 years and a half.
So that's a significant amount of work, and it's a really big deal. I think, we had Bluetooth, we had Bluetooth Low Energy, or Bluetooth Smart, I should say, and now we've got Bluetooth Mesh. Will Bluetooth Mesh products have their own brand, or will they just be using the Bluetooth?
Today, Bluetooth is using just a single brand, okay. Bluetooth, because like it makes things simple. Of course, under that brand umbrella, you have a variety of specifications, products, use cases. They all use the same fundamental technology, the same fundamental radio technology that powers all of them. So that's the common denominator.
And explain to us just briefly what is mesh?
Yeah, so mesh, depending on like which angle you look at it, but it's a network. It's a low power, or I would say even ultra low power networking system, peer-to-peer network. So it is a new topology for devices that use Bluetooth radios. So, you know, Bluetooth started back 19 years ago with, of course, audio was the first application, and that was over a point-to-point link. And this is how it still is today. Like, your phone to your headset is a point-to-point link. Then, in 2010, Bluetooth Low Energy was integrated into Bluetooth world, and Low Energy, it offers point-to-point links, not for audio, but for low data rate devices like accessories, activity trackers. You know, it enabled all this market of accessory devices, human interface devices that connect to a central device that's in the middle. So Bluetooth offers today this topology of several point-to-point links that hook to the central hub, which usually is your smartphone or mm-hmm. your PC computer. Low Energy also enabled applications that use one-to-many topology. You've probably, you of course heard of beacons because yes. you're running the beacon business so beacons is a new phenomena in Bluetooth enabled by Low Energy, and it's really a one-to-many broadcast topology.
Right.
Because you don't have connections, you have a device that broadcasts data, and you have many devices around it ad hoc that can make use of that data, interpret that in a variety of ways. Now mesh, it introduces many-to-many peer-to-peer connectivity. So you can have a complete network of devices, thousands of them, organized in a network. So they all share security credentials, and they all have their own addresses, and you have unique addresses, and you can have group devices, group addresses for grouping devices, and mesh organizes that system. That's the, so actually the mesh specification is three specifications. So the first fundamental is the mesh profile. It's the networking part. Mm-hmm. Security, networking, addressing, communication, publish, subscribe, how do devices communicate. It doesn't define what they are telling each other, what information they exchange. So on top of the mesh profile, we have a mesh model spec that is an application layer. It defines things, how they behave, how they react, who can talk to who about what. So in that mesh model spec, we have four main areas. One is called generics, which is used to generically control any type of a device. So it contains things like binary on-off commands. So you can switch on your lights, or you can switch on off any other device. And you have analog levels. So you can, for example, send a message that controls level of something, or that something can report the level of itself, whatever it is. That's mm-hmm. why we call it generics. Second part of the profile spec, of the model spec, is sensors. Mm-hmm. And that's very important because it's very flexible, and it builds on a system of gut characteristics that has been developed for a number of years. And mesh sensors built on top of that. So we are enabling any type of a sensor to be a mesh device, including things that we refer to as multi-sensors. So there are several sensors in one. So you can envision things like occupancy sensors, combined with ambient light, and they are very popular in lighting applications. And you can have temperature, you can have other environmental. That's kind of addressing this category of devices. But also within the sensor models, we have what we also refer to as sensors. We have means of reporting variety of statistics and maintenance data. So actually any device in IoT world can benefit from collecting and reporting its own data.
And how flexible is that?
It's designed to be ultra flexible. So probably we're covering today north of 90x% of sensor applications out there. Now, if anything is missing, for example, there is a very unique type of a sensor that we haven't envisioned. The good news is that the spec already covers that in some way. The only way that needs to be defined is the format and the meaning of the data. So you may say, okay, I have a device that reports whatever fluctuations of sunburn on a skin, whatever, and you define that as a 16-bit value or 50-bit value or whatever you like, and then you apply to Bluetooth SIG to assign an identifier for your type of sensor, so that once somebody hears that sequence of the identifier and data, they know how to interpret that. So that's designed to be very quick turnaround cycle, you know. So if any new needs arise, we can satisfy them almost immediately. Then third part of the model spec is time, and connected to that, scenes and schedules. So time we consider very important, because propagation of time across networks is something that may bring very important value to many applications. So, you know, today probably you can count the number of devices that display time in your home, and they are not synchronized usually, and very often they like blink and with zeros, or they don't have the current readings when the daylight savings is on or off. So we see that as a very fundamental application for the time model. So all those devices can form a mesh network and tell each other what time it is. The other thing, as long as a device has a notion of time, it can have a table of schedules. So there can be a blind, sun blind, for example, that shuts down and up depending on the program schedule, or there can be a variety of other use cases when they are time driven. So that's what time is about. And finally, last but not least, is the lighting part of the model spec. And that lighting part is really very deep, I would say. It addresses not just simple home lights, but it addresses the needs of professional lighting industry. So this is a completely new territory for Bluetooth to invade, and I'm very curious to see what is the reaction of lighting companies when they go through the spec and when they see the products. But the good news is that leading lighting companies were contributing to that specification, so we believe it's very solid.
I was going to ask you, who's actually been working on this? Because I think that tells us something. The kind of companies that have been involved in this massive effort tells us a bit about where it's going to be adopted.
So the main contributors are listed on one of the initial page of each specification. So you have the mesh profile spec, mesh model spec, and mesh properties, which is the third one. And of course, you have traditional companies who have always been there, which are chip vendors, companies who produce Bluetooth silicon that runs all those applications. So I won't be going through all the names. The other companies that we are very happy to have on board are the big guys, like Google, for example. Mm-hmm. Google has actively contributed to the spec, and of course they are listed as a contributor in the spec. And finally, there are a few companies like ours. So we are a fairly young startup, and for us this has been a great experience to be among all those big players and play such an important role in defining and developing that spec. So Silver, my company, is a software lighting control company. That's how we define ourselves. So we our product is software stacks and applications and platforms for organizing lighting systems, and Bluetooth Mesh is the primary platform / technology to achieve that goal.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
So you really had you had some skin in the game. This had to work because Silver's business, and you're the CEO of that business, is sitting on top of this.
Yes. So for us, you know, it's been a very significant bet, and I would say a binary bet. I mean, we bet everything on the technology, and for a reason, of course. So we had not the greatest experience with other technologies, and we quickly realized it was somewhere around 2012-13 that really we want to use Bluetooth for fundamentally this radio is the best radio of choice available today for this kind of applications. And
So why not other radio technologies? Like, I mean, Zigbee's famous for having some mesh functionality in it.
Yeah, we played with Zigbee and related technologies before going to Bluetooth, and it was a great learning experience. Mm-hmm. So we built our second generation lighting control system based on Zigbee radio and on what we considered at the time the best breed of other technologies and layers. So it was a full IPv6 solution based on Zigbee in sub-gigahertz frequencies. So it seemed to have all the properties of a winning system. So it was easily traversing concrete walls, and it was, you know, IP-based, and it was like everything. And then the final product didn't work because we found it simply too slow and too heavy. And it's like, I like using that paradigm a lot. It's like building the next generation aircraft using steel as your primary material. You can build a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. It just won't fly.
That's
so we learned that you have to start with a proper foundation. Like, you know, modern aircraft are built from latest generation composites. So for us, Bluetooth radio is like this fundamental building block that guarantees that we will get the best performance.
So you can have a great standard, but obviously key to any standard is adoption. And what's your view on where this is going to be adopted, and how confident are you that this is going to be kind of live up to the rest of the Bluetooth standard?
Yeah, so we've taken care of that to some extent when defining the requirements for the specification. So one of the fundamental requirements for mesh has been that it is backwards compatible with Bluetooth 4. So it means that, in a nutshell, it's a software upgrade for existing Bluetooth devices. Of course, they have to have enough resources like flash memory, RAM, and things like that, and the vendors have to provide that update. But it's only, quote, only a software update to everything that's out there. So your existing phones, they can do Mesh today.
Or a Bluetooth beacon if I get a firmware upgrade.
Yeah,
if you communicating with Mesh.
Absolutely, yeah, that's the key. So of course, this approach has a drawback that we are not based on the latest, greatest Bluetooth 5 radio, which improves things even more. But Mesh, by principle, has been designed for very rapid market adoption. And to prove that, on day zero, so the day of launch, two vendors, we were one of them, qualified their stacks. So on day zero, at the day of adoption, you had, two qualified software stacks for Mesh available. That's something. Bluetooth 5 is still in the process of being developed into products. Mm-hmm. Mesh is, you could say, already developed. So now companies are building end products that will be hitting the market very soon.
Let's talk about scalability, because that's got to be one of the challenges with these mesh networks. They can potentially be very large, and you've got nodes that are running on batteries. How can you say anything about how you're going to make sure that this sort of flooding of packets doesn't wear down all the batteries and exhaust the network?
Yeah, it's a significant problem, I admit, and we have what we believe very good means of addressing that problem. So there are a number of techniques that the specification envisions to enable scalability. So again, you know, it starts with the radio itself. That's way lighter, way faster than anything comparable. So a single mesh message, it occupies only 376 microseconds mm-hmm. of airtime on a given frequency. So that's 10 times better than anything else available. You mentioned those other technologies. Mm-hmm. So we have an advantage here from the very start. And then the architecture of the system is such that it enables, through planning, such deployment of those networks that they can really reach a high number of nodes. So we have networks in pilot projects that are north of 1,000 devices, and we know there is still room to have more. I would say where other comparable networks say they are going to saturate, we are running just fine, and that's because of the lightweight design. So I was talking about how the radio helps, but also what helps a lot, and I believe that's the very unique design proposed for Mesh, is that a Mesh message is very, very small. So without compromising on security, which is always the biggest overhead on transported payloads, we are able to squeeze the entire Mesh message into a single Bluetooth advertising PDU, which is including all the preambles and things, 40 something octets.
So it's very small.
And without going into a lot of detail, can you just give us a sense of, are there different roles within a mesh network? Like if I have a battery beacon and a powered beacon, are they going to behave the same or differently?
Yeah, they can behave differently. So we have support for low power nodes through a concept of friendship. So that concept allows those low power devices achieve very low duty cycle. So essentially you can have a device that sleeps all the time and wakes up only for a few hundreds of microseconds to transmit something, and then the friendship concept works kind of like a email inbox, so that device can have a higher power, more capable friend device that helps caching messages directed towards the low power. So that friend maintains a cache of messages, and a low power device like a battery beacon wakes up once in a while, pings the friend device, hey, do you have anything for me? If not, then it goes to sleep immediately. So that, well, rounded to three decimal places, actually it's 0.00 duty cycle. So we can run for years.
Well, I just want to wrap up, but before we go, any thoughts on what do you think the new applications are? We've got this new standard, this new capability. How do you expect this to impact the applications of Bluetooth in the future? Are there new things that are going to be possible that weren't possible before?
Yeah, of course. So you know, I envision, and we are using lighting by purpose, on purpose, I envision a significant rollout of Bluetooth mesh communication fabric as digital ceilings. So of course the key motivator for that today is energy savings and lighting control, which Bluetooth mesh can satisfy by design. But once you have those lights in your ceilings that form a mesh network, they can be used to do many other things. So a light, for example, can receive advertisements, Bluetooth advertisements from asset tags. And these advertisements can be forwarded through the network to client applications that make use of that information. So you can envision all sorts of asset tracking, ad hoc sensory applications being enabled by that. Of course, first we need to have the widespread rollout of those digital ceilings, but I believe that will be happening fairly soon. And then beacons mentioned here a number of times. So I believe one problem in large-scale beacon rollouts has been the lack of standardized management interface for beacons. So beacons today can advertise, but from time to time you need to reconfigure them, check their status, reprogram them in some way, and there's no standard way of doing that. So mesh aims to address this problem, and this is one of our near-term roadmap items to add to mesh beacon management. And there are a couple of other work proposals that call for using mesh networks for new applications. So the source of that is, as always, Bluetooth website and the specification workspace. So, you know, new work proposals can be browsed, so I encourage people who are interested in our roadmap to just go there and look into what is in there. And if you find something interesting, then please join the group and contribute. We are member-driven, and all that happens, I'm just trying to facilitate. And it's really those people from individual companies who come and devote their time and effort to build the specification.
Well, it's quite an achievement. It's exciting. It sounds like it's really the end of the beginning, and there's a lot of work to come and a lot of new features and developments. Thanks very much for sharing all this great information about.
I would say it's even beginning of the beginning. So, we are, you know, V1, it's a great system, but just released, and it just opens the imagination of what can be in front of us. So I'm very excited to see.
Simon, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Steve. Great.
What three songs would you take on a trip to Mars?
When is the trip scheduled?
In about 3 months.
Okay, just laughing because, I've had such problem before. So it was way back into very early 90s or even 1989. I was on a trip to Australia from Poland and for a year, and I had to like make a very careful selection because like the only thing I could take with me was a cassette tape. So actually I took two at that time. One was Robert Plant's Big Log,
okay,
which is still on top of my favorite list. Oh. And the second, at that time it was very popular, but I still love, and it keeps reminding me of many emotions of these days, those days, is Home by the Sea by Genesis.
Okay, Genesis, wow. I think that's a first for our show.
So that's two. Yeah. And third one, that's actually coming back to me quite frequently, is probably less known. The title of the song is I Hear, and the name of the band is Strange People. It's but you can find it when you look for it. Yeah. And it's got a number of very nice remixes, trance remixes, which I also like. So it's variety of, you know, different flavors, but I think that would keep me running.
Very good. So you're a runner, are you?
I'm rather a hiker, but yeah, I do like activities. So I'm snowboarding in winter. You know, we have many opportunities for that in Europe.
And you're based in Poland, right?
I'm based in Poland, yeah. Yes. So Austrian Alps, Swiss Alps is where we love to go, and also I love hiking a lot, backpacking.
All right, sounds like you've got a good work-life balance there, that's to be commended.
Trying to, although I tend to be very emotionally attached to things I'm doing, so like development of Mesh was like my personal story a lot, not only my business story. So.
Very good. Well, thanks for that.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.